Today's scripture reading is from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 to 6. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them." This is the Lord's word. Please be seated.
Good morning. In preparation for my presbytery examinations coming up, I've been working on memorizing the Westminster Shorter Catechism, as it is a helpful starting point to answer the theological questions that I will get asked. And so this week, as I was working on sermon preparation, I memorized question number 26 of the Shorter Catechism, which is, "How doth Christ execute the office of a king?" And this is the third question, treating the threefold office of Christ as our prophet, as our priest, and our king. And the answer given, and I won't quote it because I will botch it, the answer given is this: Christ executeth the office of a king in subduing us to himself, in ruling and defending us, and in restraining and conquering all his and our enemies. As we continue our new series on the role of the ruling elder, we should have Christ's kingly office and to defend her people. The role of the ruling elder to protect and to care for God's people. And alongside the office of the teaching elder, the elders are responsible for feeding God's people with his word, for ruling them as servants of Christ, for defending them from their enemies of sin, false teaching, division, and for caring for them with the love and compassion of Jesus Christ. It is no mistake, then, that in the Old Testament, the kings of Israel are called shepherds. The authority with which Israel's kings ruled did not originate in themselves, but it was given to them by God. This authority was given to them that they might be earthly representatives of the God who exercises universal sovereignty. They were to use their authority for the good of their people. Their leadership extended beyond the realm of politics into the spiritual lives of God's people. And so the metaphor of shepherds and sheep gives us a picture of how the king was to relate to his people. Or more accurately, how the king was to relate to God's people. Shepherds were to provide a great level of care for their sheep. They were to protect them from their enemies. They were to feed them, tend to their injuries, nurse them to health from sickness, bring them back into the fold when they had strayed, and keep watch over them and lead them to fertile grazing. The relationship of a shepherd to his sheep is meant to be an intimate one. It is meant to be heartwarming and inspiring. It is meant to elicit joy as we consider the wonderful care that the shepherd has for his sheep. Well, unfortunately, of 43 kings, only David, Hezekiah, and Josiah were consistently loyal to God, and only about a half a dozen others even have a mixed reputation. The other kings led Israel through various levels of apostasy and wickedness in rebellion to God, which resulted in their exile and removal from the land, a scattering. These shepherds of Israel were wicked and faithless, and their sheep suffered under their shepherding. The faithlessness of these shepherds does tremendous damage to the idealistic picture of a loving shepherd that I just described. Now, some of us know this more intimately than others because we have experienced ourselves the shepherding of neglectful, exploitative, and abusive shepherds. The failures of the shepherds in our text this morning are not unique to the kings of Israel. This is not merely a historical survey, but rather for some of us, this may be a painful recollection of our own experience with the failings of our shepherds. I want to acknowledge that as we move through our text this morning, thinking about the failings of human shepherds, some of these things may be difficult, may bring up memories that are hard for you. However, I pray that this morning we will know and experience the hope that exists for wounded sheep in the Lord who is our good shepherd. I pray that we will see the righteous anger that God has toward shepherds who do not care for the sheep entrusted to their care. I pray that our past pain and struggles with domineering and unfaithful shepherds would not cause us to miss the blessing that God has for us in human shepherds who are faithful and committed to their sheep. And I pray that every one of us would recognize that we all, like sheep, have gone astray and are in need of a faithful Redeemer. Would you pray with me? Our holy God, we come before you this day to hear from your word. Father, we thank you for the reality that we have your word revealed to us in your scriptures. And so, Father, as we spend time in this text, we pray that you would minister to each one of us in the way that we need, that we would recognize what you are saying to your sheep, that you would comfort those who are wounded, that you would heal those who are hurt, that you would encourage those who are brokenhearted. Father, that you would lead back those who are straying, for we know that you are our shepherd. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Our passage, Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 22, breaks up for us into three main sections this morning. Verses 1 through the first part of verse 10 focus on the shepherds of Israel. Verses 10b through 16 focus on the Lord, and verses 17 through 22 focus on the sheep. And so we will look at our first section dealing with the shepherds in two parts. First, the indictment, and second, the judgment. So let's read verses 1 through 6 again as we hear the indictment against these shepherds. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them." Ezekiel is charged by the Lord as his prophet to prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. And having spent a significant portion in Isaiah, walking through Isaiah's judgment oracles, we can recognize that this passage bears some of those similarities. The Lord is calling his shepherds to account for their failures, and he is bringing a charge against them. Verse 2 summarizes the offense of the shepherds. Ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? At its most basic level, the role of a shepherd is to feed his sheep. Interestingly, the Hebrew word translated as feed in this passage is the same word translated shepherd. So this verse could also read, "Ah, feeders of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. Should not feeders feed the sheep?" Or it could be this, "Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been shepherding yourselves. Should not shepherds shepherd the sheep?" The idea here is clear, that the shepherds have neglected their sheep for their own considerations. They have not been selfless, but selfish. They have not even done the basic requirements of their role. They are a walking contradiction. So what follows is a fuller description of how they have failed, which can be categorized in two ways: sins of commission and sins of omission, or sins of doing and sins of leaving undone. Verse 3 shows us the sins of commission, along with the end of verse 4. "You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. With force and harshness you have ruled them." Now, it would not have been uncommon or even inappropriate for a real-life shepherd to consume the milk and produce of his sheep, or even to shear their wool for his own garments, or even to slaughter choice sheep for consumption or religious ritual. However, Ezekiel describes a far different picture than the everyday living and working of a shepherd. The acts of these shepherds are exploitative. They're predatory. They come at the expense of the sheep and to their harm. Their eating of the fat, which also could mean consuming their milk or eating the curds, in this picture is made to look like robbery. Their wearing of the wool is meant to show that they have left their sheep naked and open and exposed to the elements. Their slaughter of the fat ones reveals that they are in violation of their role as protector and defender of their sheep. Now, all of these things they have done to the neglect of feeding their sheep. They have made sure that they are well taken care of, even as the sheep suffer greatly. In addition, they have ruled their sheep with force and harshness. The shepherds were ruthless and domineering in their treatment of the sheep, and in this way, they were less like shepherds and more like the Egyptians who dealt ruthlessly with Israel in their slavery. These shepherds are guilty of inflicting great harm on their sheep through their predatory, abusive, and exploitative treatment of them. And as if that weren't enough, the shepherds have also failed their duties by omission, the things that they have left undone. Verse 4 catalogs these for us. "Instead of tending to the weak sheep with a special attention intended to strengthen them and care for them, the shepherd has done nothing. Instead of being close enough to recognize and remedy the sicknesses of the sheep, the shepherd is nowhere to be found. Instead of bandaging and cleaning the injuries of wounded sheep to prevent them from further injury, the shepherd leaves those wounds open to infection. Instead of watching over the flock to keep it together and safe, the shepherd has actually contributed to the straying of his sheep by driving them away and has not sought to bring them back. Instead of rescuing sheep who are in danger of perishing, the shepherd has left them to their own defenses. This is a complete and total abdication of duty. These shepherds are depicted as complete and total failures." Verses 5 and 6 describe the result of the failure of these shepherds. The sheep are scattered. They have become easy targets for predators. The flock has been driven apart, and the shepherd is not searching for them to bring them back. But these are not just any sheep, however. These sheep do not belong to the shepherds themselves, and so their failure deepens. No, these sheep belong to the Lord. These shepherds are accountable to the Lord, and it is this reality which leads to the pronouncement of judgment in the following verses. But before we get there, let me pause for a moment. If you have experienced neglect, exploitation, domination, or abuse at the hands of those who are positioned to be your shepherd, I want you to hear this morning that the Lord sees and knows everything that you have endured and suffered. And while it may be hidden from the sight of your peers, or ignored by other leaders, or swept under the rug by cowardly men, the Lord has seen your affliction. Because he hates when his shepherds harm the sheep, and he does not condone their actions. And this is made clear by his judgment in verses 7 through the first part of verse 10. Let's read that now. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. The Lord calls the shepherds to hear his voice as he pronounces judgment on them. First, he recounts their failings and their guilt is made plain. There is no question that these shepherds deserve judgment. Again, the reason for their judgment, aside from their failings, is that the sheep, which have been entrusted to their care, belong first and foremost to the Lord. In verses 6 through 10, the Lord repeats, my sheep, 8 times. This reality must confront the shepherds as the judgment is delivered. The judgment is pronounced in the first half of verse 10. First, the Lord declares that he is against the shepherds. Had they served the Lord faithfully by caring for his sheep, they would have found the Lord to be for them. However, the Lord proclaims that his hand is now against them. He does not approve of their work. Second, the Lord will require his sheep from their hand. By this, the Lord is holding the shepherds, accountable for the current condition of his flock. They have been unworthy stewards. And so the Lord is taking back his sheep from their hand. Third, the Lord will stop their feeding of the sheep, which is kind of ironic. That is to say, he will stop their shepherding of the sheep. He's removing them from their office because they've never actually done it. They've never actually shepherded their sheep. They've never fed their sheep. They're being deposed. The judgment section comes to a close with the declaration that these so-called shepherds will no longer be able to benefit by preying on the weak and scattered flock. This is the rightful expectation for all of those self-proclaimed shepherds who, having their own interests in mind, neglect, abuse, exploit, and scatter God's sheep. The Lord is against such shepherds and will hold them accountable for their actions. As we move into the second part of verse 10 through verse 16, the shepherds are left behind and the focus turns to the work of the Lord. So let us read verses 10b through 16. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Now, aside from that being a passage that could serve as rich devotional material, There's some wonderful, wonderful things and truths in this as the Lord emerges as the rescuer of his sheep. He will not leave them without a shepherd. Since his flock has been scattered, he will be the one who goes to seek for them and to search them and bring them back. He will find them because the Lord knows what a shepherd does, and he will not be deterred from being the shepherd that his sheep so desperately need. Driven away from the flock by shepherds with sharp teeth, the sheep now wander in many places with dangers threatening them all around. And it is to all of these places that the Lord will go to find and rescue his sheep. In verses 13 through 15, the Lord promises wonderful blessings for these exiled sheep. Ezekiel was a prophet during the time of the Babylonian exile, and so in these words, there is hope for a restoration to the land, a return to Israel. The Lord promises to gather them up and bring them back to the land where they will enjoy the blessings that a good shepherd knows how to provide. However, this is not merely a promise of a physical return from a physical exile. There is much more. The Lord's search for his sheep goes beyond geographical limits as the eternal Son of God, the Christ, the second person of the Trinity, became incarnate. He came to earth as the good shepherd to seek and find his sheep and to gather them to himself. Wherever his sheep have been scattered, it is the most certain outcome in all of history that he will find them and he will gather them to himself. Our Redeemer has gone into the places of the darkest sin to find his sheep and to deliver them. This is where he found me, and this is where he found you. There is no sin too great, no wandering too far, no darkness too dark that will prevent him from finding his sheep and gathering them to himself. The profound reality in all of this is that Jesus, in order to rescue his sheep, became a lamb himself. Jesus became the sacrificial lamb in order to bear the sins of his sheep. He was driven into the wilderness to experience the miseries and sufferings of this life and to bear the wrath of God in making atonement for sin. He was abused by those who should have received him. He was denied and betrayed by his closest friends, and he was crushed for the iniquities of his sheep. Because of this, by his grace, we, his sheep, have been rescued from the power of sin and death, our greatest enemies. We have been gathered into the flock of Christ, and we now experience the love and the care of the Good Shepherd. The highlight in verses 13 through 15 is the rest that the Lord provides for his sheep. These sheep who once were threatened not only by those who they would expect to be their predators, but also by their own shepherds, now lie down in the green pastures of the land to which the Lord God has brought them. The Lord causes them to lie down, to rest. And this is what Christ does for us. Jesus, calling his sheep to himself, says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In Christ, we have peace and we have rest. In him, we have protection from all our enemies, for in him, we have a perfect shepherd. The Lord shows his love for his sheep in verse 16. The Lord's actions on behalf of his sheep serve to make right all that the human shepherds had failed to do. And so in these words, we also see Christ's ministry to us. He will seek the lost sheep. Those who are in danger of perishing, he will search for and he will find. He will deliver them from their troubles and dangers. He will bring back the strayed. Those sheep who have been driven away from the flock will be gathered back in to safety and protection that the Good Shepherd offers. He will bind up the injured. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." He will care tenderly for those who have been crushed and shattered by the miseries and trials of this life and by the sins of others against them. He lifts up the spirits of his people. He will strengthen the weak. He will not take advantage of the weak, but he will give them his strength. His power is made perfect in our weakness. And he will destroy the oppressors of his people and shepherd with justice. This is a great hope and comfort for lost and wounded sheep. And this is the example after which human shepherds, elders in Christ's church, are to care for the sheep that the Lord has entrusted to them. Before we get to a final application, we need to look at verses 17 through 22, where the Lord turns his attention to the flock. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink of clear water that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. When shepherds fail to lead, when they fail to care for their flock, the sheep can get out of control. Since his shepherds had failed to get involved in the lives of their sheep, the sheep had caused their own problems as well. The picture is one of bullying. The strong and fat sheep looking out for themselves at the expense of the weak sheep. These strong and fat sheep have elevated themselves in the absence of the shepherds, and they have threatened the flock. Again, the Lord will not allow his flock to be oppressed. He will come as a judge to settle the conflict between sheep and sheep and to execute justice where it is needed. He will judge between sheep and sheep to ensure that his sheep are not scattered and they are not threatened. Paul's commendation in Philippians 2, 3, and 4 is a word for Christ's church in light of these verses. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. This is the ethic and practice within the flock of Christ. All of this passage and all of what I've said already serves to make a few very important points for us as the Church of Christ Universal, and as Westkirk as a church particularly. First, this passage highlights for us the importance of selecting godly and faithful elders. In our form of church government, the local congregation selects both their teaching and ruling elders. The office of elder is a perpetual one, and so it is of tremendous importance that the congregation select men who will faithfully shepherd the church after the example of the Lord in Ezekiel 34. We announced this morning that we will be taking nominations for ruling elder candidates during the month of November. So I would encourage you to take time to pray for this process, to familiarize yourself with the biblical qualifications of an elder, and then look around you to see if we have anyone who meets those qualifications. This is an important thing in the life of a church, because a shepherd can gather or scatter the sheep. Second, because elders are human shepherds, they will fail us. The sins of shepherds against the Lord's sheep have tragically led many to leave the church for a time, if not permanently. They have abandoned even the possibility of care by faithful human shepherds because of the pain inflicted on them by an unfaithful one. While this is understandable on one hand, while we get that pain and that desire to separate yourself from the pain, no one should remain under the care of an abusive shepherd. So first of all, let me say that. No one should remain under the care of an abusive shepherd. But let me encourage us all today to remember what Paul says in Ephesians 4 when he speaks to the church. When Christ had ascended into heaven, Paul tells us that he gave gifts to his church. And one of the gifts that he gave is the office of the elder or pastor. And the stated purpose of this gift is that the church would be built up in Christ. If we walk away from this passage, this text in Scripture this morning, as some surely have, concluding that because we have God as our good shepherd, therefore let us leave behind human shepherds because they're just going to fail us. They're just going to mess up. They're going to sin. They're going to harm us. Then we will be abandoning a wonderful gift that Christ has given to his church. Human shepherds are a blessing to the church insofar as they follow the example of their good shepherd, although imperfectly. Let me assure you this morning that your elders deeply desire to be the kind of shepherds who follow after the example of our Lord in Ezekiel 34. They want to know you. They want to care for you. They want to support you and protect you and to rule over Christ's church as humble servants of their King. They recognize they have room for improvement and are making steps in this direction. So would you encourage your elders in their work today? Finally, we are all, elders included, in need of the tender love and care of a good shepherd who seeks out and finds us in the darkest places. A good shepherd who brings us back to himself time and time again. Jesus Christ is the perfect shepherd who will bind up your wounds, who will heal your illnesses, who will correct your straying and save you from your lostness. Revelation 7, 15 through 17 describes the eternal care of our good shepherd and the hope for wounded sheep. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we pray that you would use your word even this morning to do what you have promised to do, to bind up the wounds of those who are hurting, to heal those who have been afflicted, to encourage those whose spirits have been crushed, to bring back those who have strayed from you, Father. Be to them a good shepherd, leading them to fertile grazing, to a place of rest, where they find their hope and rest and joy and healing and satisfaction and life in Jesus Christ, our good shepherd. Father, minister to us all through your Holy Spirit this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Having heard the word preached this morning, let us sing a song of response. The King of Love, my shepherd is. Please rise from wherever you are, in heart or in body, as we sing this song.
Thank you.
people of God, receive this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Go in his peace.